You are listening to the Independence Network.
It's the illustrious from high above Wyoming mainstream media. Joined by Mr. Misdemeanor himself, the Saratoga Sledgehammer. Starting your day the right way on the Independence Network. It's time for the morning show with your hosts, David Iverson and Jailbird Joey.
It's time, once again, for the morning show on the Independence Network. I'm David Iverson, and I'm joined by my illustrious co-host, Joey Corrente. Good morning, Joey.
What is going on, my brother? I'm trying to enjoy this morning show as much as possible, because I know tomorrow I will be without you as you're running around the state doing that good work of the people. Why don't you tell us why you're not going to be here tomorrow so everybody's ready to not listen to the solo JoJo show on Tuesday morning?
Oh, fun times, man. Leah Southwell and myself are putting on a, Leah is calling it the Constitution is the Solution class down in Cheyenne. Not really a class, more of a discussion. I'm calling it the The Constitution really does solve all of our problems, and we don't need any of your dumb ideas like a convention of states. So anyway, yeah, it's going to be about the convention of states and how all the answers to all of these questions we have, term limits, abuse of power, overspending, all of those things are already in the Constitution, and we certainly don't want to start a convention of states and absolutely destroy the Constitution. There should be a lot of people there. I've actually invited a couple of the folks from the Convention of States Marketing Organization, which is also known as Convention of States Action. Now, we're not going to give them very much time, but I did tell them, hey, we'll give you time to, you know, talk a little bit about your thing, but this is our thing. So it's at 6:30 at the Salt Life Church in Cheyenne tonight. So if you're in Cheyenne and you don't have anything to do tonight, come over to the Salt Life Church. Again, it's at 6:30, and we're just going to sit down and have a good conversation about the second most incredible document ever written in the history of the world.
Excellent. I'm sure a lot of people will enjoy that, and we're looking forward to having your report on it when you get back. But we do have news of the day today. And it looks like we're going to start with something it's not about what happened today. It's about what happened a couple of weeks ago. But people are saying, hey, where's the actual news on this? And since it's coming from your neck of the woods, I guess I'll let you kick it off and bring us into the conversation we're going to have on something we've talked about. But now it's the other side. It's the news reporting. The reason the Independence Network exists.
It is the reason.
Bringing you the actual story.
Yeah, but Joey, according to the Sheridan Press, there's nothing to see here. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Those really aren't strings attached to anybody's arms that the press is controlling. Just move along, nothing to see. The truth is that the Sheridan Press is now saying that the reason they haven't reported on any other Christy Haswell incident is that there's just no more news here. There's nothing. There's no need for a follow-up. In fact, they've printed two articles about it. One of them says pretty much, let me get to it here. Thanks for asking the hard questions. And this is from their editorial staff. And it says, and I quote, and let me just read you a bunch of this, or at least a little bit, and then we'll get into it. Quote, for a 61 word and 3 paragraph brief, that's all they've printed on the Christy Haswell incident. We at the Independence Network have covered this almost from all aspects on Cowboy State Politics. I even brought you an interview from the person that called in the Ready Report. And there was far more in that interview than the Sheridan Press reported. In fact, it was a pretty detailed description of Ms. Haswell's driving up on the sidewalk, up on the other sidewalk, running into a mailbox. And I mean, it wasn't just I had a couple beers and I was over 0.08. No. This was a serious DUI. If there had been anyone else in front of her, she would have run them over. And so here's what they report. On Facebook, as of this writing, that brief has 57 comments, almost one per word. And many of those comments and the multitude of others we've received, both on social media and in person, have come to us in the form of questions. Why cover this story at all? Why not do more follow-up coverage? And what was with that photo that was ran with the story online? These are good questions, and ones that have inspired a robust conversation within our newsroom. So thank you, Sheridan County, for asking them. These are the questions that we're still discussing and debating. Why cover this story at all? Critics of our decision to run a story at all could note correctly that the Sheridan Press rarely covers DUIs. So why make an exception? And this is perhaps the first big gem out of this. Our perspective is this. Elected officials need to be held to a higher standard than average folks. And when your elected official takes any kind of action, for better or worse, you need to know. So why is it then that there's only been one article printed by the Sheridan Press when Christy Haswell has been allowed to go on vacation the very day that she's arraigned? Her lawyer submits a request for her to be allowed to go to Mexico and not have to participate in drug testing. The day that she's arraigned in court, they allowed her to leave the country and not submit to drug and alcohol tests. Now, Joey, if it were you or I that got a DUI like that, they would say, sorry, you should have thought about your vacation before you decided to get hammered and hop behind the wheel of a vehicle. And we wouldn't be allowed to go to Mexico. So maybe that's worth reporting on. They continue. Why cover this story at all? Oh, excuse me. So where's the follow-up coverage? And this is, again, the second gem of this. Okay, you might ask, if you're all about transparency and accountability, why haven't you continued to follow the story? Here we go. The answer is that we've reviewed all the documents related to this case and come to the editorial decision, at least at this point. There's no more news here. The arrest charges have been made, and we told that story already. Whoa!
Yeah, let's talk about that. Firstly, the fact that they believe that our elected officials need to be held to a higher standard than average folks. Okay, but you're a newspaper. Even if they're to be held to a higher standard, shouldn't you just be reporting the news? Your standard is not the standard that, you know, maybe elected officials need to live by. You should be doing this for everybody across the board the same exact way. And I know that's not the fact. They admit that they initially ran a 61-word article. Now, I get it. Timely news. They may only have had 61 words worth of evidence, facts, data the day after the arrest. But we know that since then, there's a whole lot more. And I'm going to correct one thing you said. I don't know if it's really an article. I can see why you wouldn't count it. But they had reported on Thursday of this month, which was, I don't know, a week and a half after this happened, that Judge Bunting was recused from Haswell DUI trial. I'll read you the whole story. Sheridan County Circuit Court Judge Sherry Bunting recused herself from a case involving Sheridan County Commissioner Christy Haswell. Bunting issued the order on April 11th. They're reporting this 2 weeks after that recusal was put out. The taking the bench for Haswell's trial will be Fremont County Circuit Judge Jefferson Coombs, or whatever his name is, was appointed by Mark Governor in 2021. A jury trial on the matter is scheduled for September 4th. That's the whole story that they report. That is not how they would report on any of the rest of us. First of all they're saying is the judge has been changed. They didn't talk about any of the subsequent orders from the judge, like, no, you don't have to show up your arraignment. Your lawyer can show up just fine. We are going to adjust your bond, let you go to Mexico, all this other information. And this is 2 weeks after, so they can't say they didn't have this information, because we had this information. If it was any of us, it would have been, well, the judge in Jailbird Joey's trial has been changed. And then they would recap every single thing that they knew or heard about my case for as much time as possible. It's called what Nick Reynolds used to call reading or adding readability to the story. And they would have filled it out. This is evidence that they don't want to tell this story. The fact that they admit this has been a subject of ongoing conversations in our newsroom. That means you guys are sitting around and talking about, should we actually report on this or not? It's not how much information do we have? How much more can we get out to the people? Because we know there's more evidence, more facts, more news out there that you haven't reported. So just on its face, you know, they say in this article we're talking about when they talk about the photo that ran with our online story is the thing that has generated the most discourse within our newsroom. And over the course of the conversation, we realized we made the wrong decision. Well, at least they're kind of admitting they've screwed up. We chose to run a file photo of Commissioner Haswell rather than the mugshot we were provided by the Sheridan Police Department. The decision, as flawed as it was one based in kindness and also the idea, like we mentioned above, that elected officials need to be held to a different standard. Okay, so now they're changing their narrative. Before it was, we think elected officials need to be held to a higher standard. Now they're saying, we don't care about really reporting the news. We care about being kind to people we think are important and holding them to a different standard. They admit that they are part of that two-tiered system of justice. The court of public opinion in which they are deeply involved, they manipulate and they admit it right here. Now, last I checked, the police weren't giving out that mugshot. Otherwise, we would have had it, right, David?
That's exactly right. You know, if they were able to get that mugshot, you would think that the Sheridan Police Department would release it. I submitted two FOIA requests for everything related to Christy Haswell after the DUI. The first one was in person. I went to the police station and said, I need a copy of all of the Christy Haswell stuff. And I was told that they couldn't release it until after the case was adjudicated. I then waited about 2 days and submitted a request online. And I was again told, we can't release any of that until Christy Haswell has been adjudicated, which means sentenced. How is it that the Sheridan Press has all of it? And the only independent media source, definitely in Sheridan County, can't have it. Why is it that you refused a request by the Independence Network and Cowboy State Politics to release any of those documents? It's clear that not only the Sheridan Press, but the Sheridan Police Department were and are covering for Sheridan County Commissioner Christy Haswell.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's actionable, but it's definitely concerning. Even if we were just regular members of the public, a FOIA request is a FOIA request. Mugshots are public domain. Especially in a situation like this, you have a dangerous person who's committed a dangerous act, who's back out on the streets. People need to know who to avoid. We should not only have her mugshot, but pictures of every vehicle she owns and could be operating, just so the people can decide, you know, oh, well, what if they want to attack her? I doubt it. Most of us would just want to stay out of her way.
But there's one more little piece of this. And now that this article is out, I'm going to attach it to another FOIA request with a picture of, like, our credentialed press passes. How is it that a credentialed media source by the state of Wyoming cannot get any sort of information on this DUI, but you give it to a crappy paper like the Sheridan Press? Well, that's because they know that the Sheridan Press is going to cover up a whole bunch of stuff. And a bunch of those folks in the police department are probably friends with Commissioner Haswell. That's exactly why they wouldn't release it. Sorry, I'm still a little irritated.
And that's a win-win for us. Not a problem. Definitely a win-win for us, because there's only two answers that come out of that. Either, no, the Sheridan Press is lying. We never gave them the mugshot, which that's a whole story in of itself. The press lying to you again. Or we lied and said that nobody could have this photo, and we were actually sending it out to people we liked. So that will be interesting to get the return on. One more thing I want to point out in this article before we move on to the next one from the Sheridan Press is a statement towards the end where it says, "This was an exceptional and unique circumstance, and our elected officials deserve an extra show of respect," is what we argued in our newsroom. So you have gone from they need to be held to a higher standard to they need to be held to a different standard to they deserve an extra show of respect. I have not seen backpedaling like this since I was sitting in session and watched people try to defend really bad bills and realize they weren't going to pass and change their votes was the least they could do to backpedal. But this is an example of the hypocrisy in the media and the failure of them to just do their jobs to the minimal journalistic standards. Again, I'm not a journalist, but I have read their standards that they say they apply to themselves. And within one article, they do about a 180 on their involvement and their responsibility to the people in their actions. Now, there was another story that came out of the Sheridan Press almost immediately after from Bryce Jacobson, who I believe is the editor up there at the Sheridan Press. And it is titled "Shining Light into Dark Places." Sounds like they're doing a good job exposing the cockroaches, as Joe McGinley would say. But in the article, it states from Mr. Jacobson, "These past couple weeks have been very interesting and very busy with phone calls and emails from readers, who I am very thankful for. On the next page of our paper, you will see an editorial, the one we just read, an opinion of the newspaper on a subject of County Commissioner Christy Haswell being arrested and charged for driving under the influence. We reported on that. We also reported this week on the fact that the judge in the case recused herself from the case itself. I have spoken to people that disagree with us reporting as much as we have done on this case, while others have emailed calling and claiming that we aren't covering everything we should. I've read all the court and police documents, and it is my professional opinion there isn't anything else in this case that warrants more reporting." So now you have the editor of the paper saying her getting a hall pass to Mexico isn't worth reporting, and then she uses the same excuse you got. Nothing worth reporting until the case goes to trial or is adjudicated. Now, last time I checked, we had the mugshot of OJ before the trial ever started.
Yep.
So I'm pretty sure that's not a solid legal standard. Even though we all kind of knew what he looked like, we still got that picture. "In cases like this, I reach out to my peers to get guidance, and some of my peers across the country agree with our stance." Oh, well, that doesn't sound like a Wyoming solution to a Wyoming problem. "While others think we should write stories all about all of it." Meanwhile, in other news, the three principals at the Sheridan County School District Number 1 have announced that they are departing. He does the same thing. He gives you a little blurb, about 100 words, of distancing himself and his paper from the accountability that the people are demanding. Doesn't even talk about the situation. Points to what he says is the good work they've done, which we know is lacking in fullness. And then immediately pivots. "Oh, let's talk about the school district now." And he spends about 600 words talking about the problems in the school district. So again, it's another little sleight of hand. Don't hold us accountable. We're doing a good job. Let me see if I can, you know, get your emotions up about a different issue and you can give us some grace on not actually reporting the news when it comes to Christy Haswell and her crimes here in Sheridan County. I think they would have been better just to shut up and ignore it and not put out either of these articles.
Oh yeah, because you know what I'm about to do when I get back from Cheyenne. I'm going to be all over this. And it's, you know, it's just like what happened in Buffalo when I started Cowboy Estate Politics. For years, I don't know, 50, 60 years, there was only one news outlet in Buffalo, Wyoming. So I start a little podcast from my kitchen table and start reporting on things around the county. And it was amazing how quickly the Buffalo Bulletin responded. The very first thing they tried to do is they put somebody on fact-checking my Facebook posts. I'm not even kidding. So, you know, this is a case of having, Sheridan, there's basically two media outlets. There's Sheridan Media and then there's the Sheridan Press. But they're both in lockstep, really. I'm sure that they all have coffee together and play golf together on the weekends. I would say ride motorcycles, but, you know, usually people that ride motorcycles have a little bit more class than the Sheridan Press or Sheridan Media. But this is going to be another case of, well, there's one person who actually wants to do a little bit of journalism. And so as if I didn't have enough reasons to be a thorn in their side, I think I might spend an entire week in different offices around the city. Perhaps I might just walk into the Sheridan Press and say, let's talk about this, shall we? But there's a lot more stories surrounding Christy Haswell, and the Sheridan Press has just piled on top of them.
Yeah, and, you know, some people might say, well, it's a new digital age. Maybe they're just not used to getting all the information out there in this format, and they wait until they have more. Hey, I don't think that this is a new issue. We can go all the way back on the Sheridan Media website or Sheridan Press website to April 2013 in an article titled Sheridan Councilwoman Smith Arrested for DUI. Yet another elected official in Sheridan getting a DUI. This is about 11 years ago. And here's the whole story. Sheridan City Councilwoman Shailene Smith was arrested for driving under the influence early Friday morning near the intersection of Bighorn Avenue and Abraska Street. Smith, 38, was stopped by Sheridan police officers at 12:32 a.m., according to records from the Sheridan County Sheriff's Office. Her initial appearance in circuit court is scheduled for April 29th. As of press time, she remained in the Sheridan County Jail and was unavailable for comment. Circuit Court Judge Shelley Cundiff is expected to set bond for her later today, and a call to Mayor Dave Kinski for comment was not immediately returned. That's the whole story. If they know she's in jail, they would have access to at least the initial contact and arrest report. So they have a history of doing this very light reporting when it comes to elected officials, even if they're not county commissioners, they're just city council people. But again, the rest of us would be, read the Riot Act and constantly reiterated in every story that came up about us, every step in the process would reframe their opinion on the entirety of the story. We would never only get 61 words or three sentences. And it's funny to me because not only would we not get the same grace they get, we also wouldn't get awards for it. Now, this is factual. This is not personal. I know Dave Kinski. I like Dave Kinski, but the truth is, when he was mayor of Sheridan, he also got a DUI, and there was a whole blow up about his reaction to that. But if I look through Sheridan Press, Sheridan Media, the only thing I find on the Dave Kinski incident is an attaboy for Senator Dave Kinski of Sheridan recently receiving a Saving Lives Leadership Award from the Wyoming Governor's Council on Impaired Driving in a ceremony in Cheyenne for his addressing of DUI recidivism. Sorry, that's a tough word to say. But in my mind, it goes to show that, yeah, they do believe that there is a two-tiered system of justice. They do believe that there is a different standard for elected officials. Now, that doesn't mean it benefits we the people, the readers. They're not going to actually do the job. The admission that they made of they deserve more respect plays out in historical articles going back over 10 years where they just lightly touch on any of the people that may have some kind of effect on their future interviews or their position in the media or in the community, and they softball it. And you can't deny the evidence. It's from their own webpage. They have never told a solid story on an elected official unless it was Mark Jennings, Chuck Gray, or Donald Trump.
Absolutely correct. And you bring up a good point, Joey, that the history behind this is a story in and of itself. Now, far be it for me and you to do a little journalism. And I think we started at 6:15 this morning on this story. Here's another one. This one isn't from the Sheridan Press. This is from the Associated Press. A police detective has been fired from the Sheridan Police Department for reporting last summer that he suspected Mayor Dave Kinski of driving under the influence. The Sheridan Police Commission on Thursday submitted a 25-page decision upholding the Sheridan Police Chief Mike Card's recommendation that Detective Chris Cook be fired. Last July, Cook reported to other officers that he had seen Kinski drinking at a social event. As a result of Cook's report, Kinski was pulled over after he was driving home, but his blood alcohol level tested well below the legal limit for driving. So Dave Kinski, former Wyoming Senator Dave Kinski, gets pulled over for a suspected DUI, which, you know, all you got to have is probable cause to pull somebody over for DUI or anything else for that matter. And the guy who pulled him over was fired. So here's yet another Sheridan public official embroiled in a little scandal involving alcohol and driving. And let us not forget my pal, Little Bill Novotny. Wrong way, Bill. By the way, Joey, have you gotten a report from a traffic report from, you know, your Novotny traffic cam?
You know, I'd love to bring Joey Novotny out, but that's a big ask for a Monday morning. He normally spends the weekend getting pretty trashed. So I got a couple text messages. Unfortunately, it's Novotnyized, and I can't read it. I mean, he even texts in slurs. So I'm pretty sure it was a good weekend up there on the I-90, I-25 interchange. But no, I don't know that we can pull that out today.
Oh, that's too bad. It usually goes something like, I'm driving at I-90. And what are all these lights in my face? And they've turned the signs around. There's lots of traffic. Oh, no. Policemen. Oh, no. Something like that.
Yeah. I'll tell you, we did get a very good rate on renting the back of the billboards along I-25 and I-90 so Bill Novotny can see them. We just haven't gotten that contract finalized yet. But you're right. You know, there is another story. And, you know, a lot of people forget some of this stuff because, well, the way the press handles it. Not a lot of people remember former Secretary of State, what was his name? Ed Murray.
Yeah.
And his little drunk driving escapade in his own driveway where he backed out into a car and was just drunk in his own driveway. Mayor Marion Orr from Cheyenne, her and her husband having a drunken fight where they were throwing cups at each other and threatening each other's lives. This stuff happens and you hear about it for about half a second and then it's never followed up on. God forbid they treat normal people the way they treat these special elected individuals that deserve more respect. If you deserve more respect, you should be more respectable.
Absolutely. And I think we have to keep underscoring the point, Joey, that if this were any other private citizen, they would have no problem about slapping your mugshot on the front page of the paper. They wouldn't have any problem running article after article after article in the paper, recounting every little detail of your arrest, your prosecution, and your eventual conviction. And probably in the end, they would do a follow-up to find out if you've actually been following the dictates of your sentence. But this doesn't happen with public officials. And in Sheridan, there's a long history of the legal system in Sheridan going easy on all of these public officials. And when you add in the Johnson County connection to it, it's like this whole Northeast Wyoming, you know, thing about, oh, well, we don't care if a public official gets in trouble. Let's just slap the back of their hand and go on about our business. The last public official that was sentenced for DUI was Bill Novotny. And he got a $1,000 fine and a year of probation. And didn't even spend a total of 24 hours in the jail. He was arrested late on a Saturday night, and he was out by 9 a.m. the next morning on a Sunday. So there is a long history of public officials in this part of Wyoming getting boozed up, getting behind the wheel of a car, and endangering everybody else on the street. And that in and of itself is a story. And now the story is the paper of record not doing their job. So thank you very much, Sheridan Press, for giving me a week's worth of material to bash you with.
Always good stuff. Free chicken, I call it. Now, I want to clarify the point that I'm making here is I'm not saying I'm an angel. I'm not saying I'm without sin. My nickname's Jailbird Joey. Come on. I have fractured a statute or two in my time. I'm not saying I'm better than anybody else. I'm saying I'm treated differently when these things happen. And that's my problem. I don't mind being held accountable for the things I've done. My very first show was Joey Blames Joey. I go out into detail and talk about everything. So the press didn't have to, at least correcting some of their stories. But everybody should absolutely be held to the same standard. And it's not only sad that it seems that it doesn't, but we have overwhelming evidence that it isn't done that way, and it's historically not been done that way. So I don't know if they'd give you the same grace if you were still on the garbage board and you had gotten in some trouble. And, well, technically he's an elected official, so we'll have to see if that same thing applies to him, but I doubt it. You know, just report the news, report the facts, report the data. If you're going to do some commentary, call it commentary. And if you want to cover your ass, just lead with your mistakes like we do. Don't make up a whole article that has 10 times the information in it about covering your ass than it did about the original story that you screwed up on.
Absolutely right. And it's, you know, this is just another example of why, and perhaps this is another aspect of this. Every small paper in Wyoming makes a tremendous amount of money off of government. A lot of small papers in the state are pretty much financed by public notices. That is, your tax dollars. Because state statute says that they have to publish, that city council, the county, the state, they have to publish public notices in your paper, which a lot of them, I mean, I went through just a quick thing with the Buffalo Bulletin, and all I did was count the salaries, the minutes of the meeting, and for both the city and the county, and then any school district stuff. And I figured out that in 1 year, just on those items, the Buffalo Bulletin made in excess of $90,000. Now, 90 grand isn't going to go that far if you're printing newspapers, but the truth is, the real amount is a lot more when you add in all the oil and gas notices, court notices, all of that. So it's a government-funded paper printing stuff on at the behest of government officials and protecting them when they get in trouble. So there's a lot of different facets to this story. So I don't know where this editor is getting off saying, there's no more news here. Maybe we should ask how long he's been an editor, because my short time in the news and your short time in the news, we see a lot of different angles on here that we could write all sorts of stories about.
And I think the point David's kind of getting to there is, with the city council, those city councilors get to decide which paper they're publishing those notices in. County commissioners are the same. They don't have to go. Sheridan doesn't have to go with the Sheridan Press. They can use the Turkey Vulture. They can use the Red Star Tribune. They can use the Buffalo Bulletin. It's general circulation within the county. It doesn't have to be the paper of record with the county's name in it. So there is a little, I don't know, pay to play or turn a blind eye in there, because they want to seem beneficial to the bodies that they report on, that they get that revenue from. And I think that's a violation of the standard stated on, you know, the Fourth Estate's website, Wyoming Press Association. True, factual, timely journalism. None of those things are happening when the money gets in the mix. You know, last time I checked, you're the only one makes any money doing what we do. I haven't made a dime yet. But that hasn't changed the standard, even if I'm not doing journalism, of facts, data, lead with your mistakes, and report equally on either side of an issue. So I don't see why they couldn't do it. And I don't know, things just seem to just get screwed up when money gets involved, especially when it's taxpayer money that somebody else is redistributing on behalf of we the people. So I think we've beaten that one to death, but you got something else I can't even remember what you said earlier were working on.
Well, we've had so much fun with Christy Haswell that it's hard to see past it, Joey. I completely understand. But there's yet another missive from our old pal Rod Miller. And now he's calling the Wyoming Freedom Caucus mutants. Here it is, his missive entitled Experimenting with the Political DNA in the Big Empty. Now, this is another example of Rod Miller just pontificating on how much he absolutely despises people that believe in liberty. And the fascinating thing about this, and the reason why I wanted to talk about it with you, is he completely twists, and this is not unusual for Rod Miller, but he completely twists the positions of the Freedom Caucus to make it seem like that we're the folks, or that they're the folks, that don't believe in liberty. Let me get to, let's see here. Here we go. Quote, to these mutants, why freedom means the freedom of government to tell us for whom we citizens can vote, what books we can read, and what women should be able to do with their own bodies. Now, does that really sound like the position of the Freedom Caucus, Joey?
Not in those words necessarily, and I'd love to break that down. To these mutants, nice being civil there, Rod. I thought we were against name calling. Now, I'll say, we talked about this before. Rod Miller's never actually said that, but he sides with the people that always say, be civil. Don't call people names. What is it Gordon's saying now? Disagree better.
Yeah, disagree
better. But, oh, well. Freedom means the freedom of government to tell us for whom we citizens can vote. No, the Freedom Caucus actually fought against that. And through Secretary of State Chuck Gray, who's not in the Freedom Caucus because he's not in the legislature, fought and did an amicus brief saying the government should not be telling people who they can't vote for, and got Donald Trump back on the ballot across the nation. The Freedom Caucus means freedom of government to tell us what books we can read. Nope, I've never heard the Freedom Caucus saying you shouldn't be able to read this book. I have heard the Freedom Caucus say we should not be spending taxpayer dollars to provide children with porn in schools. That is a different angle. And what women should be able to do with their own bodies. Never heard the Freedom Caucus say anything about that. I've heard the Freedom Caucus say your body is encompassing another life and another body. And when your choices destroy that other life, then we have a problem with it. And since right now it's in court, we at least want to make sure that your baby killing is safe and regulated. So more BS from Rod Miller. And yeah, I can twist it back the other way, but I'm just going to ask Rod, please provide us the citations, the facts and data, the sound bites, the quotes that you have from members of the Freedom Caucus that back up anything you're saying and accusing them of right here. I'd love to see it.
But see, Rod Miller doesn't like to do that. He likes to sit behind his computer and type away like Gail Simmons does at every meeting without being held accountable to any of the things that he says. And he obviously refuses to jump on a stage and debate them. Now, let me tell you how that whole thing went down. It was Rod Miller who wanted to debate me down in Cheyenne. Actually, the first idea was to do it in Casper, and then that didn't work out. So I suggested, let's do it the first week of the session. And where it was left at was, okay, Rod, you live in Cheyenne. Go find us a venue. When you find us a venue, let me know, and I'll be there. And Rod Miller never found us a venue to hold this debate at. He never even attempted to get back in touch with me. And when pressed about it by you, I think, Joey, they said, well, David, he just dropped the ball on it. That's not true at all. And then Rod Miller has the gall to go back and write bullcrap like this. So let's just take this for a minute. So the freedom of government to tell us who citizens can vote for. No, Rod, there have been bills that have said Democrats don't need to vote in a Republican election, a Republican primary. That's not removing your ability to vote for whomever you want. Go to your own party and vote for your own people. If you're not a Republican, you don't get to vote in a Republican primary. What books we can read? Like you said, Joey, nobody's ever said you can't read those books. Go to your parents, have them order it on Amazon, and you can read it all you want. The only thing the Freedom Caucus has said is taxpayers don't need to be paying for pornography in schools. And for anybody to assert that all of the books that we're talking about, gender, queer, and all of them, are not pornography, is just flatly dishonest. And then the whole what women can do with their own bodies. Well, when you decide to hop in the sack with somebody and you create another life, it's no longer your body alone. You have somebody else's body inside you. The Freedom Caucus has said that nobody has a right to kill another innocent human being, which, by the way, Rod Miller, if you remember correctly, I have a beautiful soundbite of you calling a baby just a little clump of cells. So, I mean, this whole thing is, I mean, it is the cheap seats, which I absolutely include Rod Miller in that, trying to take pot shots at, obviously, people that he doesn't like. And the only reason he thinks he can do it is that he's pretty sure he's not going to be held accountable for what he says and what he writes. I mean, this whole thing is just absolutely disgusting.
Well, it's classic Rod Miller, so you have to expect idiocy and disgust anytime you get into any of that. A couple other things old Rod likes to point out here. The GMRs, I think that's genetically modified Republicans, are firmly behind the freedom of our small Wyoming communities to wither and die. I think that's a pot shot at John Bear in what the media, and especially Rod Miller, has taken out of context what John Bear said on the floor of the legislative session. And they seem to constantly forget, since they're all about journalism and truth and people's rights to know, the 2020 statement from Governor Mark Gordon, where he just came out and said it, of Wyoming's going to have to start abandoning small rural towns because we can't afford to upkeep their infrastructure to include water and road projects. So if we want to go after somebody who thinks small Wyoming towns should wither and die, let's go after the governor that said, hey, unless we have a pandemic here and get a bunch of federal money, we're not going to be able to, you know, keep funding these small towns at the rate in which they're entitled. Luckily for El Gordo, we had a pandemic. The other thing Rod Miller says here, oh, and the Freedom Caucus stands firmly behind the freedom of the families of our fallen cops to go on welfare. Now, I take personal umbrage with this because this is an issue that came up during the legislative session, and I was on the unpopular but still, I believe, right side of this. An incident happened. A cop was murdered while session was going on. This bill came out of nowhere to increase the retirement benefits of this police officer to his family to 100%. And they acted like it had to be done now. It was a huge emotional issue. It was big for, you know, campaign fodder. And my problem with it is that that is the legislature telling a private, or even if it is state run, privately funded by its members, retirement plan, what they're going to do and how much they're going to spend, and, you know, basically monkeying with the system when they have no idea about the details of that. And the insinuation that this family would go on welfare just because some Freedom Caucus members voted against the increase to 100%, he's missing the fact that the current benefit was already 65 to 80% of the police salary. There is no welfare there. You cannot correlate what happened with what's being said here. It's not like, oh, sorry, your husband's dead, thank you for your service, now go get in the breadline. That was not the path that ever existed. So again, Rod Miller out here telling stories around the old campfire, completely wrong, total fiction, and barely even readable.
So that whole debate started with an amendment that was brought to the budget by Cyrus Western. Actually, no, well, I can't remember where the amendment was, if it was to a bill or to the budget. No, I think it was a budget amendment to begin with. So the original amendment was to, like you said, Joey, 100%. And then they knocked it down to 90%. But what Rod Miller is failing to point out here is just what you said. That, first of all, it's not welfare. It's a retirement benefit that is provided by a pension fund, by the law enforcement pension fund in the state of Wyoming. And she was already going to get 60% of his pension in perpetuity. Now she's going to get 90% of his pension in perpetuity. The other problem with this is something that you and I talk about all the time. It's unconstitutional. Because this was what's called in the Wyoming Constitution a special law. This is a law for one person. She's the only person that's going to be affected by this. Now, that is to say that if another police officer, God forbid, gets killed in the line of duty, that officer's family will get 90% of their pension also. But for right now, this is a law for one person. That's absolutely unconstitutional. And that, I mean, that was one of the arguments that the Freedom Caucus was making. And I understand this is a tough vote, and it was done by Cyrus Western to gain political points for his, at that time, I guess he was still thinking about running for re-election. But this is a problem that we run into all of the time, that politicians pull on our heartstrings and say, oh, well, look at this poor family. We have to help them out. The truth is, it's not your money to give. It's our money most of the time. And in this case, it's the money of all the other law enforcement officers. Now, I heard another argument saying, well, you know, I think if we asked if we polled the law enforcement officers, they would be in agreement with this. But you didn't. I don't know if they would. But you can't make that argument when you're making an unconstitutional law for one person. Now, Rod Miller.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and point it out.
Go ahead.
There's an additional component to this. And I'm going to keep leaning on the fact that it was happened during session and in an election year. Because if this was a true concern of the legislators that fought so feverishly for it and wanted to demonize the Freedom Caucus over their constitutional stance against it, then why wasn't this already in the hopper? This isn't the first time a police officer has been killed. We lose police officers, firefighters, EMTs, and, well, state employees or contractors to state employees all the time. Why was there not this bill already for, I don't know, the EMT out of Carbon County that was hit by a truck while he was, you know, administering service and care to somebody on the side of the road on I-80 last year? Or the tow truck driver out of Wamsutter who was hit by another truck driver that wasn't paying attention while he was contracted to YDOT and the Wyoming Highway Patrol to go and recover a downed vehicle. You know, if it really mattered on principle, this bill would have already been in the hopper and it wouldn't have been limited only to police. This is a line of duty benefit that they're talking about. So again, I think they absolutely went out of their way to make an issue that they could run on during the election season this year and try to make their opponents look bad on. And if it really had mattered, it would have already been something that they would have had put together, and it would not have been an amendment to the budget. It would have been a standalone bill. And again, it would have affected more than one person immediately. It would have been across the board. You're right.
Yeah, absolutely ridiculous. And one other thing I'd like to point out with Rod Miller's article, there's this little gem here. The Freedom Caucus, who stands tall in their defense of government's freedom to tell us whom we can love and whom we can marry. That's not true at all. First of all, marriage, as it's strictly defined in just about every dictionary that I know of, is between a man and a woman. That's marriage. You know, you get married in a church. That's the whole definition of marriage. Man, woman, church, minister, the whole rigmarole. What's going to happen for the lovely Christine and I this summer? That's a marriage. Now, I don't know what it is. You can call it whatever you want when you're talking about gay marriage, because that's what he's talking about. It's not marriage. It's a gay union. You can call it a business arrangement. You can call it a contract if you want. Call it whatever you want, but it's not marriage. Yes, that whole soundbite right there is about gay marriage. And Rush's point is that it is not marriage. Marriage is between a man and a woman in a church with a preacher, whole bunch of people around, party afterwards. That's a marriage. Now, I don't know what you want to call a gay couple deciding to tie the knot, but it's not marriage. Marriage is strictly defined as a man and a woman. Now, the truth is, in Wyoming, there's a court ruling that says that two men can have a civil union, but there's not a law in Wyoming. In Wyoming, there has been for a long time a law that says that marriage doesn't apply to two people of the same sex. So it's not the Freedom Caucus that's saying that, and Rod Miller is just he's just full of crap like usual.
Yeah. Dictionaries be damned. I know it breaks your heart to hear me say that, but you're right. The Wyoming statute in Title 20 defines marriage as the union between a man and a woman. So this is not about people's feelings. This is about, if we really believe that, then where is the legislative activity to change that law based on a court decision? I'm not going to say what marriage is or what marriage isn't. The only thing I'm going to say is what I've always said, is it's not government's responsibility to regulate, license, or define that. They should be out of the marriage game 100%. And if they're going to be in the marriage game, stop being hypocritical about it. We have a law on the books that says exactly what you said the dictionaries say. Whatever your opinion is, it doesn't matter. Because in this case, Wyoming law states one thing and the actions of the state of Wyoming are another. So if you want to have a real problem with something, Rod Miller, have a problem with asking Rod to have problems with hypocrisy is like, you're not going to get anywhere on that. But we do need to change that law. And to kind of wrap this up, I think I'll quote Rod Miller himself. And I think he's right here when he says, in short, cowboys and cowgirls, we voters need to get a lot smarter about who we listen to and what words we believe. I agree. And to start that getting smarter process, stop listening or reading Rod Miller's crap. You want to have a good idea of what's going on? Oh, maybe include Rod Miller's crap in your wide spectrum of information coming in, and then do some research. We could tell you all day long how Rod Miller's wrong, but unless you go and you look up the specific bills, the sound bites, different articles, or contact these legislators themselves and ask them about it, all you're going to do is react emotionally to something an idiot who can't keep a bookstore open is telling you. And if you're eating that he's feeding you and asking for more, then I share the same concern of Rod Miller. You're an idiot who's allowed to vote.
Exactly right. You know, it's you and I say this all the time. Well, and at least I do. I don't know. But one of my main points on the program is don't believe the word that's coming out of my mouth. Don't repeat because David said so, because you'll get laughed out of the room. Read what they tell you not to read. Read what they tell you you should read. Don't watch one news program. Watch them all. Don't just listen to us. Find out what the other side is saying as well. Make your own opinion up. Don't listen to people like Rod Miller, who are going to write a column packed full of a bunch of bull crap. And, you know, the reason why he writes this stuff is he knows that people are going to read it, and some people are going to agree. And that's the only reason why he writes it. And it's, you know, it's just another example of the bullcrap Wyoming media spreading lies without any accountability whatsoever.
True, 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 which is what we try to do here on the Independence Network. Well, we got about 8 minutes left in this morning's show. What else you got on your pile of stuff there, David? I see it's piled high.
Yeah, well, the stack of stuff, I mean, throughout the week and usually right up till Monday morning, it just gets deeper and deeper. Just like everything that comes out of the Wyoming news. But the White House Correspondents' Dinner was held this weekend, and maybe we should have talked about this after the Sheridan Press segment, but Biden had something very, very interesting to say. Check this out.
I'm sincerely not asking of you to take sides, but asking you to rise up to the seriousness of the moment. Move past the horse race numbers, the gotcha moments, and the distractions, the sideshows that have come to dominate and sensationalize our politics. And focus on what's actually at stake. And I think in your hearts you know it was at stake. The stakes couldn't be higher. Every single one of us has a role to play, a serious role to play, making sure democracy endures, American democracy. I have my role, but all due respect, so do you. In the age of disinformation, credible information that people can trust is more important than ever. And that makes you, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, makes you more important than ever.
But I'm not asking you to pick sides. I'm just telling you that, you know, the stakes couldn't be higher, and you've got to stand up for democracy.
Yeah, I gotta love it when the guy that's in charge of the Republic keeps referring to it as a democracy. Well, that was the White House Correspondents' Dinner over the weekend. I heard there was a ruckus crowd that actually booed Biden a couple of times, probably not on that soundbite, although I could see him standing there saying, "You're not doing a good enough job driving my narrative, and we need to stick to, you know, this, that, and the other, and stop sensationalizing." Dude, the quotes from you yourself, as inaudible as they are half the time, sensationalizes politics. Most of the media who I don't... Exactly. Most of the media who I don't agree with only starts with playing your sound bites and taking your quotes and what you've said and, you know, your vice president and your press secretary. There's got to be a source for this garbage. And all I heard President Biden saying there was, I know we're trying to get things done a certain way. And if you could only just blame the other side and be a little harder on them and help us get to where we're trying to get and only, you know, inform the American people of what we say is the truth, then I'd appreciate it. Thank you. That's all I heard him saying.
Exactly right. And that's all he ever really says. It's amazing that, and you know, we talk about their hypocrisy all of the time, but it's gone so far beyond that that, you know, a lot of people would say, well, they're saying the quiet part out loud now. And, you know, this is kind of a progression in politics. You know, years ago in America, and, you know, this is something I brought up on my program not that long ago, but there's all sorts of various groups. And the best example is the Marxists. So when Reagan was president of, or the chairman, I don't know what his title was, but when he was president of the Screen Actors Guild, the Actors Union, he flatly said, no, there are communists and Marxists in here. And nobody believed him. And, you know, as the years progressed, you started to see, you know, more of these people come out in the open. Well, now it's almost fashionable to be a Marxist communist. It was just last week or recently on Cowboy State Politics, I ran an episode called Hanging Out with Marxists. And it was audio of a meeting that was held that was co-sponsored by the Teton County GOP with an openly Marxist organization. And so now we've come to the point where there's no sense in hiding that the administration is in cahoots with the press. Now they just say the quiet part out loud. Hey, you guys don't have my back enough. You know, step up your game a little bit. I'm losing this election. You don't want that to happen. Protect democracy. You know, so it's amazing to me to just watch the progression of how all of these things come out. So now we've got, you know, Marxists hanging out in the open, and you know, nobody says a word about it.
Yeah, that's fun. Well, hopefully they at least enjoyed the dinner. There was I hear barbecue provided by Uncle Bozy's Barbecue. Interesting flavor on the meat there.
You
again,
had
you know, I don't know how the president could complain. Well, you know, he provides all this stuff, and that's what, you know, the press has got to run with. You know, you got to realize something I always say is it may not have been your fault, but you always have to recognize your contribution to your situation. So if President Biden thinks it's all the press's fault and all the conservatives' fault, you know, just take a look in the mirror, you know, listen to some of your own sound bites, bud. You did that to yourself.
You mean like this one?
Well, it looks like we're down. Yeah,
beer,
get another
here. It is used to make the brew beer in this final. Oh, Earth Rider, thanks for the Great Lakes. I wonder why.
I mean, if I was running,
and that was before he started drinking any of the. He hadn't had any of the beer yet. I mean, that was stone cold sober Joe right there.
Yeah, and you know, if I was running the White House Correspondents' Dinner, I think I'd just start out with, you know, the Biden gaffe reel.
Elect me. I'm in the 20th century. 21st century.
You know, the reality is, Joey, I've been compiling this Biden gaffe reel for, I don't know, it's been like 2 years, and it's gotten to a point where it's well over 4 minutes long now, and it is just one after another. And none of these people in the press even want to come to the realization, even want to open their ears and hear what this guy says. They're so involved in their own ideology that they fail to report the truth. And it's filtered down, and maybe it always has been this way, to outlets like the Sheridan Press, where we started this whole morning show. But the press, let's be honest, man. The Press Association, one of their top guys is old Woody, one of our favorite whipping posts here on the program. He's the guy that literally made porn in the library. He didn't make it and try to like move it into the library and put it on a shelf like most of his people. No. He went way beyond and created it in the library. I mean, stepping up, doing what he can for libraries all over America. Well, we've got about 30 seconds left in the program. And once again, Joey's going to be on his own tomorrow. I'll be on my way back from Cheyenne. And, of course, I'll have a report from that whole thing. I'll record the audio so we can play it on the program. Should be a pretty interesting discussion. But don't miss all of the great content at the Independence Network, Cowboy State Politics, Just Blame Joey, The Ramble Room, The Hair Affair with Christine, Wide Right Turn, all of the content you're not going to get anywhere else. You are listening to the Independence Network.